This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Nah, man. But the big thing, you know, is that everything's not about race, man. Another big thing tonight is you're not allowed, somebody told me this, you're not allowed to ask women what they're wearing anymore. It's the whole thing, you know, ask her more. You have to ask her more. Now, you know, just like, you ask the men more. Hey, everything's not sexism. Everything's not racism. They ask the men more because the men are all wearing the same outfits, okay? Every guy is wearing the exact same thing. You know, if George Clooney showed up with a lime green tux on and a swan coming out his ass, somebody would go, what you wearing, George? Hey, welcome to the 88th Oscar Academy Awards. Yes, thank you. You want diversity? We got diversity. Please welcome Emily Blunt and somebody writer, Charisse Theron.
Leave it to Chris Rock, huh? I mean, hey, we're just not going to leave that 8,000-pound gorilla lying in the middle of the room and everybody not talk about it. He's going to bring it up front and center, right?
Definitely. I actually thought he was pretty funny. I thought he was pretty fair in all of his criticisms.
And I was wondering how he was going to play it off because, of course, you know, he was getting a lot of pressure from the black community. Oh, you ought to boycott and do all that and... and it was funny. What was the line about?
The line about that was everybody that's not working tells you to quit.
Yes.
So he goes. So that he said that wasn't an option. And I thought he was pretty fair in his criticisms. I thought his joke on Will Smith and his Jada Pinkett was pretty funny when he said that she's boycotting and she won't even let Will come. Because he wasn't nominated for a concussion, and he goes, that's probably not fair, but he goes, it probably wasn't fair for Will Smith to take $20 million for Wild Wild West either.
Exactly.
And
good line.
He also said in there that, you know, why is this the one that they're boycotting? He goes, this is the 88th award ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you could go back 50 award ceremonies, and every one before that, there probably was zero black people nominated. And then he goes, oh yeah, that's right, because we had more important things to worry about and more important things to deal with. So
that says a lot right there. I mean, you got to appreciate his perspective and like you say, the balance of his perspective. And you think, okay, here is a black figurehead. He's on the main stage, the Oscars. You know, that he's emceeing. I mean, what a coveted position and honor and opportunity in that. And then he gets pressed in from, you know, his people, you know, from the left side and the right. And you go, okay, how is he going to handle it? There's probably lots to be studied and understood about the way in which he handled it. It was very professional with class and grace. And so many, you know, did you hear his language? That's not class and grace. No, I mean, you know, but just the manner, you know.
The thing that I would have to say, the only actor that I feel got seriously snubbed was the actor from Creed.
Mm.
I thought he was fantastic. Jeffrey Jordan.
Yes.
I thought he was fantastic, and I thought that he should have been nominated. But I mean, if that's my only complaint in the world, I guess I'm doing all right.
Well, you know, and overall, I mean, you think about, you know, how many people, you know, did win of color. You know, hey, if you do the job, you're going to be in contention. If you're in contention, you got a shot at it, you know. So, but this was a good year, and there was a lot of good competition, great acting, you know. And what makes great acting is, you know, everybody doing a good job, and there it is. And congratulations to Chris Rock. This is Bill Martinez. It's 4 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter RADIO. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live after a wild week in Nashville for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And as you can tell, I got a little bug along the way. Yeah, it's just, you know, the thing is, it's so tough when you're in those kind of environments. And also, maybe just the season and the change and that sort of thing, the bugs are flying. Not to mention when you're at a dinner. And this is all, you know, kind of one of my pet peeves is when, you know, you come into a public deal, and if you're sick, you know, you need to, like, not come into the public deal. You know, like, we're at a private dinner, and this one guy sitting at our table, oh, my God, he was deathly ill, and what are you doing here, you know? And he's coughing, and the guy next to me, he's kind of cracking up, and I'm going, this is not funny. I'm going, man, this is not going to be good. And so sure enough, he shared, I got it. And
one of those moments where he walked in and you walked in and you're like, oh, I'm getting sick.
Oh, I mean, I try not to think that way. Usually what I try to do is when somebody's, you know, having it, you know, I just, you know, I'll pray for him. God, please bless him. And you know, take those germs as far away from me as you possibly can. But I just, I don't know, even when I was an adjunct professor at Vanguard University in Southern California, I'd pick up stuff very easily. And the doctor would say, well, and he said, well, you got a, you know, a little strain of mono here. And I go, mono, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, you're teaching. He goes, those kids are just, you know, they're carriers of all kinds of bugs and whatever. And he says, and I said, but I'm not shaking hands or anything. He goes, no, you don't even have to shake hands. But he says, your resistance is low. And he said, because basically I have no tonsils and I have no appendix. And little did I know, when you have neither one of those, that has some sort of effect on your immune capabilities. And so I'm generally, you know, mindful and working around that. So in fact, a gal we're going to be talking to later on, she's been helpful. She does sufficient C, which is a really special formula for vitamin C, and that's been helpful. And I've been mainlined in that right now to try to kick this thing, because this is, you know, hey, it's just what it is. It's the season.
For me, I always know after I see them cough or sneeze the first time. However they deal with that, I'll know if the person's going to get me sick or not.
Yeah,
like, because some people, there are people out there that don't, like, cover their mouths when they cough, or they just cough right in their hand.
Right, right.
You know, so, but if I see somebody coughing into their elbow or sneezing into their elbow, I feel a little bit safer around that person.
Yeah, right.
But when they're just hacking and they're just,
yeah, when they're like, yeah, exactly. Then you know, you go, oh my gosh, They're spreading it all over. I mean, it's like decorum. You know, maybe we had to do a coughing, you know, a coughing etiquette deal and that sort. I mean, just simple things to protect yourself. But I think the main thing is first line of defense. Look, if you're sick, don't put yourself in a situation. I mean, we're at a dinner. This is a private dinner thing where, you know, there's several hundred people there, and you're assigned seating, and you're stuck. And but man, I'm telling you, I was real close to, you know, just saying, hey, we're out of here. You know, I can't stay here. And by the time I got to that point, which was a little bit of time, probably more time I needed, the gentleman had left. So I, okay, well, that's good. So, but still, it's just like, you know, you shouldn't have been there in the first place. But that's what happens, you know. And I know with. You know, when I was running a radio station in Los Angeles, you know, you get single moms with kids, and kids are sick, and, you know, they can't go to school, so what do? They want to bring them to work. I said, don't bring them here. You know, we got 50 people here on staff. You're gonna infect them, and especially these little kids. There's just something about little kids' germs. Those germs, they can go through cement walls. They're extra powerful, you know?
Where do you think that comes from? Because I gotta assume that in other places they choose to stay away from, you know, if they're sick, I'm just gonna stay home. I know that growing up, you know, I'd see my dad go to work sick all the time, and it made me also go to school anytime that I didn't feel good. You know, mm-hmm. Is that just something that's ingrained in us, or is this a worldwide problem?
Well, it could very well be. I mean, but here in America, we're driven. I mean, you know, we just want to produce. We don't want to. And sometimes, you know, what happens is some companies are not they're not geared up to give you a sick day or well day. One company that I consulted, we used to give well days. You know, if you were, you know, for every 12 weeks of 100% being at work. Then they would give you, you know, a day or two of a well day. And you can use that whatever you want to do. If you want to take a day off and just go shopping or whatever is your day, you could have it kind of as a bonus. And that was pretty effective. And it was interesting because it changed the culture of that company in such a way that it wasn't about, you know, sick days. I mean, say, hey, how many sick days do you get? Well, why do you want to, I mean, I understand that we get sick, but why do we want to, introduce that to the culture and talk in terms of being sick? Why don't we turn it around and we'll call it a well day and make it a little bit more positive? And in doing that, I found it was quite interesting, you know, how people responded to it. And, you know, my thing is that when somebody needed a day off, whether it was for sickness or whatever, or just maybe to go fool around, you know, hey, look, you've worked hard, you earned it, you can do it, you got your workload, you're on top of it, you know, when you come back, whatever it is you missed, you're going to have to make up. You know, you treat people like adults and let them have the freedom of being able to take some time off, as opposed to, you know, these people that find themselves on the 50-yard line in an afternoon football game, and they're going crazy, jumping up and down, and their boss was expecting them at work, and they called in saying they were sick, and hey, there's Joey's on TV. He's not very sick, is he?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm in agreement with you.
No, it's just interesting, but you know, hey, it's what happens. I guess our gal from Sweden, we're unable to connect with her again, right, Mona Walter?
I've been trying to reach her. I just sent her an email. I have not heard back from her.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, get to hear a little bit of the background here. We've been Mona Walters has just an incredible story. We may get. We got to get her on because it's just a terrific story. She was born a Muslim in Somalia and immigrated to Sweden, where she first encountered radical Islam. And in Sweden, women wear the hijab and Muslims read the Quran. And she says that, Muslims are normally good people, but when they begin to read the Quran, then they become a killing machine. Ooh, man, that's... And this is from a former Muslim. And, you know, again, I think that there's just so much yet to be understood. Now, when she went to Sweden, you know, she just had it so much with the religion and all this pressure of the Muslims. She just says, hey, I'm an atheist. I don't want to declare. I just don't want to believe in anything because you guys are all crazy. But the rest of her story is quite amazing, because she's held on to Matthew 5, verse 44. She says there was a turning point when Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who speak evil about you and persecute you." Well, maybe the next time. This is Bill Martinez. It's 14 after.
This report is brought to you by IHOP. IHOP is sharing the love. On March 8th, pancake lovers nationwide will once again flock to their participating local IHOP restaurant to enjoy one free short stack of buttermilk pancakes in celebration of the brand's annual National Pancake Day. Now in its 11th year, IHOP restaurants will give away millions of free pancakes from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to guests dining in-restaurant and ask them to leave behind a voluntary donation for their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, Shriners Hospital for Children, and other local charities. Participating IHOP restaurants supporting Children's Miracle Network Hospitals will also sell Miracle Balloons for $1 and $5. The balloons will be available for purchase beginning February 1st through March 8th. Darren Rebellez, President, IHOP.
Every pancake we give away has a purpose on National Pancake Day. Through the generosity of our guests and the hard work and commitment of our franchisees and their team members, we will help fund life-saving treatment and care for children in need in our communities.
For more information, visit IHOPPancakeDay.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Getting America back on track.
It's a lie!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Bill Martinez, live.
Okay, you hear John F. Kennedy and you just go, gosh, have we lost our way? But it's going to be up to me and you, all hands on deck, if we're going to get this country back on track. Thank you for joining all the fun here. Let me tell you, 19 after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. Sarah Westwood is with us, watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. And I just found out today, congratulations, Sarah. She is We're like 2 days away from her due date. She is highly expectant, as they would say.
That is correct, as they would say.
Well, congratulations. So this might be our last time to converse here for a little bit. And, you know, we'll have to give you some time off. But, you know, we wish you and the baby and your husband especially, you know, because this is your first child, right?
Yes, it will be.
How exciting. That is so cool. So anyway, congratulations. But I want to talk about your latest column. You know, today being Super Tuesday and all, there's a lot to look at. But one question that seemed to be the only one that you were asking is, what if Hillary is indicted?
That is a huge question. Obviously, it's looming over the Democratic side of things. A lot of people still think it's a long shot because there are so many hoops the Justice Department would have to go through to finally bring an indictment to fruition. But if it did happen, it would really cause a lot of problems on the Democratic side because they don't, at this point, look like they have a plan B.
Right. No, I mean, here it is. The Republicans are having a hard enough time getting their brain around one Donald Trump. How does the Democrats say we need to embrace Bernie?
Well, that's not necessarily what would happen because of the way the Democratic Party allots its delegates. You know, there are 712 superdelegates that aren't bound by the results of any state primaries. And so they could, in theory, tip the scale for a nominee in the Democratic side that's not even running yet. I mean, you hear a lot of talk about a Republican brokered convention, but if Hillary Clinton were to be indicted, which I will say is still a long shot, we would probably see a brokered convention on the Democratic side, and the superdelegates allow that to happen more easily than it could on the Republican side.
Wouldn't this be incredible, the year that, you know, you get brokered conventions for the Republican and the Democrats?
You know, yeah, both of those situations are still, you know, they're out there, but not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, it could be a historic year in that regard.
Exactly. Well, this latest dump of emails, Sarah, you've been tracking this from day one. I mean, there's just more violation. I mean, when does this thing end?
You know, last night was the final release of Hillary Clinton's emails, so luckily, she won't be hammered on a monthly basis about the amount of classified information that was in her emails. But it's certainly far from over. There are other Freedom of Information Act lawsuits that are pending, some that could even force some of her top aides to testify under oath about why they set up the server and how they decided which emails they were going to delete. And if that's the case, then she's not going to be able to escape scrutiny of this anytime soon. And obviously, any Republican candidate is going to make this a general election issue.
Mm. Well, McCasey brought up a point. Michael McCasey, the former attorney general, which you write about in your column, he served under President George W. Bush. In terms of this alleged, quote-unquote, FBI security review, I mean, there is a specific process that these kind of investigations take place. But, you know, it just seems that, you know, you talk about the language that comes out of the Democrats and everything else. They just like mumbo jumbo the language and they come up with new terms and new ways. I mean, this legalese kind of stuff to kind of confuse things. But it's like, wait a minute, there's a specific process that takes place. And McCasey is saying, wait a minute, what language are you guys using here, right?
Exactly. You know, the Clintons are famous for choosing their words quite carefully. So you have Hillary Clinton out every day saying, or every day that she's asked about it, writing off the FBI investigation as nothing more than a routine security review. But people who are familiar with the FBI's work can tell you that the FBI doesn't conduct security reviews. The FBI only does one thing, and that's investigate crimes. So to characterize this probe as anything other than a criminal investigation would just be inaccurate.
But again, this is what they do. I mean, she knows, they invented plausible deniability, right?
You know, at the moment, that is what she's saying, and she's basing that plausible deniability around the fact that none of the emails that she turned over, at least, were marked classified. But we have her signature on documents upon entering and exiting the State Department that show she acknowledged that information is to be treated as classified, whether or not it's stamped with the classified markings. That's true across the federal government, not just in the State Department. And so that's not going to be a defense that would hold up in a court of law, but maybe it's enough to get her through in the court of public opinion.
Exactly. But meanwhile, you've got 150 FBI agents on the case. 150, Sarah? I mean, they're not taking this lightly, at least on their end.
No. You know, the FBI, by all accounts, is deeply invested in this investigation. They have 150 agents or so dedicated to this probe. And anytime you've seen an Obama administration official come out and try to write off the investigation, you've seen them push back a little. And that was especially true in October after President Obama, if you recall, he went on 60 Minutes and he said he didn't expect that there were any violations of national security protocol involved in the case. And FBI agents came back very next day and leaked to news organizations about just how serious the investigation was, because they don't like that sort of heavy-handed interference.
Yeah, he's meddling at this point. I mean,
right.
Same thing he did with the, you know, with SCOTUS. I mean, anytime he can get, you know, his fingers in there, he tries to, you know, meddle in other people's business. I mean, they're saying, hey, look, you stay in the executive branch. That's what you got elected to do.
Exactly. And Loretta Lynch has been pretty proactive about saying that there won't be any political interference in this investigation. To her credit, she came out and said it at a congressional hearing when she was asked. She said it in a subsequent interview. She's really trying to assure the public that if she does receive a compelling recommendation for indictment from the FBI, she'll act on it. And that's obviously the expectation and the hope of the public, mm-hmm. that the leadership of the Justice Department would do that.
Well, of course, and Hillary Clinton has, as she does, she's not going to miss an opportunity to blame and point fingers in another direction. You know, she keeps saying that, you know, this is the Republicans' attempt to weaken her prospects.
She does. She often conflates the FBI investigation with the House Select Committee on Benghazi investigation, but these are two totally separate probes. One has nothing to do with the emails and hasn't really touched the email issue until since they uncovered it last year. I mean, if you recall, the Benghazi Committee
right.
was the investigative body that uncovered this. But since then, they really haven't touched it. So it's limited now to the FBI and to the State Department Inspector General, to nonpartisan investigative bodies, and it really is out of the reach of Republicans at this point.
Sarah, how many now with these emails? What do we have? A couple thousand emails that are regarded as classified, top secret, super top secret. Is that the number that are now in obvious question?
Mm-hmm. A little over 2,000 classified at various levels.
Wow. And she's fighting all the way to try. Well, you know, she is. I mean, you know, as she says, she's a fighter. She's not going to go down easy, and she's going to use every extent of the law and process and her political capital to, you know, still go forward and try to win the White House, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's no guarantee, even if she was hit with an indictment, that she would step out of the race.
Exactly. Sarah Westwood, watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. Thank you, Sarah. Take care. It's 28 after the top of the hour.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business.
Our terms are simple. Repayment plans are flexible and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107, 800-217-5107, 800-217-5107, 800-217-5107.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shot for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
With the America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Coming to you Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern, starting next Monday. Scott Hunt, we're 3 hours, 9 to noon?
That's what they tell me.
9 to noon on the big satellite. That's awesome. So we're excited. So you get 3 hours of all this fun and frivolity. So pass it on, tell your friends, and join us as we do everything we can to make sure, as best we know how, that you're empowered with the truth, and you know the choices that lie before you. But facts always trump, okay? I always say facts trump opinion. But when you don't have facts, then opinion rules, and we got a lot of that flying around these days. Well, Steve Overman is with me, a good buddy, the author of the book Watchman Prophecy and God's Plan for Your Future. Takes you on an amazing journey through the prophecies of the Bible with over 1,800 prophetic passages from Genesis through Revelation. He shows us how what God has said thousands of years ago would happen one day is happening now. It's, you know, Steve, it's almost when, you know, I hear that statement that you wrote, is that, you know, it's that the question of Satan in the garden, did God really say? And that question is still asked even to this day, did God really say? And then when it comes to prophecy, it's like all these things keep going. And, you know, what do we got? About two-thirds of the prophetic has been fulfilled, 100%, you know, 1,000% without exception. We still have about a third left. So what are the chances of God fulfilling that remaining third of his prophecy?
Well, thank you for having me on, Bill. This is Steve Overman, and it's certainly an amazing journey that we're going on right now. If people understand the prophetic word, they'll have a much greater grasp of what the world is going through right now.
Exactly. So no surprises here. I mean, God knew this was going to happen. And you, you know, you got some revelation, as we would say. And I know some people, this might be Christianese when you hear revelation. When we talk about revelation, it's this, you have this sense that you know that it didn't come from you. It had to be something that, God's spirit dropped into your spirit and opened your eyes to see something that was quite eye-opening. So when we look at, you know, what is happening today in our world, for example, ISIS, and what you discovered is that ISIS was foretold in what God said, the men of Nineveh, right?
That's absolutely correct, Bill. Let me give your audience a little explanation of what happened to me exactly. I try to read a little bit of scripture every night, and not long ago I was going through the book of Luke. I'm in chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. It's at a place in scripture where if you were doing any better, you would say it sounded like Jesus was ticked off. It says that he's getting crowded in by a bunch of people. He gets up and tells them that this is an evil and wicked generation that doesn't do anything but look for a sign. And there isn't going to be a sign given to it except for the sign of Jonah. Then after that, he makes really strange statements, two of them, of which the first one didn't bother me much. The second one, I'm going, whoa, I need to check that out. And when I checked it out, I'm going, oh, my God, literally, he has given us a message. The first statement he made was, for the queen of the south will rise up with this generation and condemn it. For she had come from the far ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, and now one greater than Solomon is here. That's referring to a story in the book of 1 Kings where the Queen of Sheba comes and delivers a bunch of goods to help Solomon build the first temple with and, of course, listen to his wisdom. Geographically, it's referring to Yemen, southern Saudi Arabia, possibly Ethiopia right across the bay, and it could go as far into Africa as Niger, and that's speculation on my part because of what the next statement I found out about. The next statement is, and the men of Nineveh will rise up with this generation and condemn it, for they had repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. And I'm thinking to myself, men of Nineveh, I've heard that somewhere recently, and I couldn't quite put my finger on why or where I'd heard it. It's driving me nuts. It's about 11 o'clock at night. I don't want to get up, turn on the lights, go in the kitchen, warm up the computer, and go into Google and Google the men of Nineveh, but it's like God's tapping me on the back of the head saying, hey, I want you to check this out.
Yeah, really.
And so that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I Google the men of Nineveh. And when I come up, I click on images because you always want to look at the pictures, right? And so when I click on images, I get a whole bunch of pictures coming up, and I'm looking at these things, and it's incredible. There's ancient walls of Nineveh still standing from 600 B.C. I wasn't aware of that. Mm. We weren't either because we didn't actually know Nineveh existed until the late 1850s when the British discovered it. And when the British discovered it, they took a whole bunch of it back to the British Museum. Well, I'm looking at these things, and I'm scrolling through here, and I'm looking at the pictures, and all of a sudden I see a picture of ISIS. And then another picture of ISIS, and then another picture of ISIS. If your audience has got a computer handy, Google it. It's incredible. I'm thinking, ISIS, why do we have pictures of ISIS in here? Well, intermixed with the pictures, there's pictures of maps. And I find out that ISIS's headquarters is in the city of Mosul.
Mm-hmm.
Mosul is in the Nineveh province in northern Iraq, right across the river from the actual ancient city of Nineveh. And I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus warning us about ISIS, and I'm not buying it. I'm still looking at the pictures, and I'm looking at them. Lots of really cool ancient carvings from 600 B.C. and beyond. Pictures of them kings having meetings with other kings and dignitaries. Pictures of them going on lion hunts. Pictures of them torturing people. They have pictures of them impaling Jews on poles while they're still alive, cutting people's heads off, carrying their heads around. Seemed to be a favorite pastime. And torturing people. It's just incredible that they were taking pictures of them torturing people in 600 B.C., and it's exactly the same thing that ISIS is doing today. And Jesus warned us, and the men of Nineveh will rise up with this generation and condemn it. I believe he was warning us about ISIS.
And so here, ISIS is, we were foretold, we were warned, ISIS is here. Now, what is our response?
Our response is, for one thing, Jesus had told us that these are the latter days, that these things are going to happen, and I believe we're at the last part of those latter days. And the one thing that he mentions over and over and over again for individual responsibility is repentance. I find that we are the generation of people that are cold for Jesus. We're the Laodicean church, according to the book of Revelation. I would implore people to become passionate for Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that God is putting on your heart to get done, repentance, forgiveness, helping somebody out, whatever that thing may be, get it done.
Mm-hmm. Because we're getting down to it where the time is drawing nigh. I mean, when you have someone like Dr. Billy Graham, and he don't hear a lot from Dr. Graham when it comes to the prophetic. And I found it quite profound when last year he said that we are, in fact, in his estimation, that we are in the last of the last days.
It's incredible. I think most evangelical Christian expositors understand this now. What I don't understand is why more of them aren't trying to get their audiences or their congregations ready. This is the most exciting time that has ever happened in the history of mankind. This is what we've been waiting for 2,000 years. It's about to happen. And it generally seems to me like the Christian audience doesn't seem to notice.
Well, Steve, you know, I appreciate you coming on, because I think that this is the thing that, and I think with anything with God, it's in God's time, not our time.
Exactly.
And but you have to have this. You know, when you and I, attended a prophecy conference together, was syncing up. It was the theme of it. The syncing up process was syncing up with God's clock, not our clock. And we needed to be in step with what God was doing so that we would have this sense of urgency, which I believe is what you're talking about. Because
exactly.
We need to have that sense of urgency like now, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I had come from a different church that didn't have that sense of urgency and didn't study prophecy. And it's amazing. They were a Christian, spirit-filled church, but
okay.
The lack of...
Steve, we're all out of time. Thank you. Steve Overman on Bill Martinez Live.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Attention citizens. This man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent. And in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1G 2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
So speak life to the dead and darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love. You speak.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Martinez, live.
Just the way you like it, America. It's all about you. It's for you. Okay, this is what it's all about. At 14 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Buzz Patterson, New York Times best-selling author of Dereliction of Duty, War Crimes, and Now Conduct Unbecoming, How Barack Obama is Destroying the Military and Endangering Our Security, is with us. In addition to having served 20 years as a U.S. Air Force pilot on active duty from 1996 to 98, Colonel Patterson was the senior military aide to President Bill Clinton. Now, during that time, he was responsible for the president's emergency satchel, which is commonly referred to as the nuclear football. Well, I'll tell you, Colonel, that puts a lot of responsibility when you're carrying that nuclear football.
Oh, absolutely, Bill. Good morning. Yes, it was one of those jobs where they don't really let you apply for it. The Department of Defense and the Air Force reached out for six candidates. They called me up in my office. I was flying airplanes to the Air Force. Said, "Come to Washington D.C. and interview," and I did. And was the office position, and had no idea what the job entailed. And then did it for 2 years. Lived in the White House. Had a bedroom in the White House and an office in the White House. That went on all the Clinton family vacations and trips and Air Force One and Marine One, and it was just really eye opening. Saw a lot of things. And I waited until I retired in 2001 and published my first book called Dereliction of Duty.
Now, again, for some people that, you know, we see this from time to time depicted in movies and that sort of thing. I'm fascinated, and I've never spoken with anybody who had that responsibility that you had in terms of this satchel. Is this handcuffed to you, like 24-7? I mean, you're dragging this around even in the shower type of thing?
Well, yes, you are. There's a handcuff on it, and you had the choice of when to actually handcuff it and when you didn't need it. But you are with it around the clock. So it's very heavy. It weighs about 45 to 50 pounds. And
wow.
You take it to bed with you. You take it when the president would go jogging. I'd go jogging with him, and I would put it in the van right behind us, the Secret Service van right behind us. it follows you wherever you go. And so, it's, like I said, very heavy, though, so I would want to put it down whenever I possibly could by my feet.
I bet.
You do have the capability of handcuffing it, yeah.
Now, this satchel, I mean, this is all wired, and it controls the nuclear weaponry, right?
It is everything the president needs, no matter where he is in the world, 24/7, to communicate with the Pentagon and to retaliate or launch nuclear weapons. Yes, there's also quite a bit more in there. That's the most, I guess that's the sexiest description of it, but there's a lot more in there that talks about, what to do in the event the president is taken down. There's emergency broadcasting system information in there. It's big for a crisis, basically, that could possibly happen to the country is contained in that one piece of luggage.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, if you were to get separated from the president and he's taken down and he's away from the nuclear football, then who's in charge?
Well, it would automatically go to the vice president, and the military aide is the person that actually makes that happen. It would be the vice president or the speaker of the House, depending on whether or not the vice president was still alive. That's why you hardly ever see the vice president and the president in the same room.
Exactly.
At the same time, is keeping them apart for that, just to kind of keep that pristine in case somebody does get hurt.
Without a doubt. Well, regarding your book, Conduct Unbecoming, How Barack Obama is Destroying the Military and Endangering Our Security, I've been most concerned about this, Colonel, as we've seen a lot of just excellent military flag officers exit stage left here. And
yeah.
I'm shocked to see that kind of talent just... so easily let go. I don't think there's any other company that would allow that kind of talent to escape, you know, their confines like that.
Well, it's even worse than that, though, because what he's done is it's been a very systematic and routine reshaping and remolding of the Pentagon to fit his ideas. He's taken the Pentagon, the military, the most powerful force that history's ever known in terms of the American military, and remolded it to fit his own social engineering ideas. People that are still in places of power in the military are people that have been handpicked by President Obama. Most of the people that I know that I really respected as leaders and thinkers and war fighters have been forced out one way or the other. So the military we have today unfortunately reflects President Obama's ideology, and I can't believe anything other than that, Bill. It's just a very scary prospect for our nation as we go forward.
Well, you know... I guess the question is, I mean, it's taken them 8 years to get the military to this point. How long is it going to take to reverse engineer this?
In fact, I'm actually working on a brand new book that talks about all the things the military will have to do to recover. And it's going to take quite a while, a couple decades at least, at a minimum. And that's if we don't inherit Hillary Clinton as our next president, commander in chief. If she comes in, Bill, I just foretell it just being a really dark time for the country as a whole and for our military in particular, because there's been a lot of damage done in terms of rules of engagement, in terms of the people we put in leadership positions that are not qualified, not capable. And to recover from that alone is going to take us probably 20 years, 20 plus years. But what we would incur if Mrs. Clinton came into office on top of that, it just would just be brutal.
Well, to me, it's like, look what happened in Benghazi. And I still connect her with that. I don't care what she says or anybody else, but it's just, you know, what the president and Hillary Clinton did in Benghazi just speaks volumes that it just seems like people don't want to address. Am I wrong?
And No, you're exactly right. You know, in the military, there's a commonly understood and accepted tradition that, the buck stops at the top. And I know military, I have friends that were in positions to respond that night, Bill, and the fact that they were told to stand down, not once, but on several occasions, and they could have gotten there in time, not to save every American life that was lost that night, but certainly to save Ambassador Stevens and most of the lives that were lost that night. Mm-hmm. And the fact that somebody in Washington, D.C., higher up, and it had to have gone at least through Hillary Clinton and probably to Barack Obama's desk, to have it gone that far with that kind of capability, waiting to react and respond in defense of our own American lives, to me is appalling and a crime of the first magnitude. And I think it just, totally renders Mrs. Clinton unqualified and incapable of being our next commander-in-chief.
Don't you find it ironic? I mean, she was the one that called then-Senator Barack Obama out about who was going to be there to take that 3 o'clock in the morning phone call. And here it is. She becomes the one, and the phone's busy, or, you know, she doesn't pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's again, it speaks volumes to who she is as a human being, and I've been blogging about her a little bit, Bill, and writing about her, and I really don't have any ill feelings toward the Clintons personally on a one-to-one level. Mr. President Clinton was very nice to me on a one-to-one level. I do find a lot of fault in their politics and the way they go about doing their business, and Mrs. Clinton especially. I mean, again, that phone call had to have come into her office or her bedroom that night, probably around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, and she either refused to take it or was too afraid of what might happen politically if she did take it, and that's where the ball got dropped, and brave, young, innocent Americans were killed as a result. And I will never forget, and I know that my friends that were ready to respond will never forget. And she's gotten a pass so far. Hopefully she won't get a pass very much longer.
Well, I got to tell you, I was really surprised, Colonel, because that movie that depicted what happened there, written by the men who were there at Ground Zero. Wow, I mean, it's very powerful. And they stayed as much as they could fairly apolitical, but it was obvious who was responsible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's a very clear, there's a very clear chain of command. And those phone calls and flash, we call it flash traffic, there's a way that even in the most remote parts of the world, if you're involved in combat or you're being attacked or surprised by enemy forces of some sort or another, there's a way you can flash traffic and make phone calls, satellite phone calls that go right to the top, looking for guidance and looking for decision making. So there's no way she did not have a part in that. And that movie was very, very powerful. The book is also very powerful. And I talked to people who were there, Bill, one-to-one level. Right. And gotten their impressions about what was said, what was not said, and just how helpless they felt watching the smoke and hearing the gunshots and knowing that Americans were being killed, just how helpless it was. And Americans should never be in that position ever again.
Exactly. And they were put there by their own government. And we're talking about the Clinton administration, what the Clinton administration did. We think about, was economically so sound, and regardless of all the other problems that went with the administration, but at what expense? I mean, we blighted the military during that period of time, and then comes 9/11, 2001, and we're sending men off to war, and we're going, wait a minute, we don't have things. We don't have the equipment that we need, and we're going to war here. And it was because of the Clinton administration. They already, took everything off the shelves, right?
They had, and I detail that very specifically in my first book, Dereliction of Duty, just how President Clinton really used the military to pay for a lot of the economy successes. I call it the peace dividend. He just assumed there would never be combat again and just robbed and raped and pillaged the military and put a lot of that money, moved that money over into different coffers. And then we had 9/11, who I also would lay directly at his feet. I think he was the one that led us up to 9/11 and our many failed attempts to get Bin Laden.
Well, Colonel, I'm sorry, we're out of time. The book is available at all the usual great places, and it'll be linked on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com, right?
That's it.
You got it. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Buzz Patterson on Bill Martinez Live.
Telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203. Or go to gcnteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.